You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you daily news and trivia and facts and opinions and, you know, whatever, all about the Los Angeles Kings, hopefully your favorite hockey team. My name is Sarah Affampato, as always, host of this show, and as always, glad to be here with you to talk all about our team. We do have some actual news to talk about today because the Kings are playing in the rookie faceoff tournament game series thing out in Arizona. They've completed their first two games at the time of this recording. By the time you listen, they'll probably have finished their series of games. But for right now, we're going to take a quick look at the first two games in the rookie series, as well as continue the conversation that you heard at the beginning of on Friday with Robin Leano of Locked On Coyotes and Jason Hernandez of Locked On Ducks. All three of us obviously have teams participating in this tournament, so took a quick look at some prospects to watch for each team. So if you missed that, go on back and check out Friday's episode for some names to watch, not only in this rookie series of games, but also in the preseason, because that is right around the corner as well. So we're going to continue the conversation today, talking a little bit more about our teams and the various states of rebuild that we're in and all that other cool stuff. But first, let's take a look at the games that the Kings rookies have already played in this tournament. Their first game on Friday afternoon was a 4-0 win over the Colorado Avalanche. We had goals from Martin Kromiak, Samuel Fagemo, Quentin Byfield, and Tyler Madden. All of those guys really stood out in this game. You also saw some great plays from Sean Durzi, Arthur Kaliev, Alex Turcotte, and Matt Vilalta was in net. He wasn't even supposed to be there, but he stepped in for Jonathan Lethmon, who had an injury and was unable to participate. Vilalta had a 23-save shutout and really looked like he is ready for the season. Vilalta is someone who has had his ups and downs with his career. I feel like last season, the whole taxi squad issue didn't make life easy for him or any of the goalies in our system to really get into any sort of rhythm or any sort of swing of things. So it was great to see him come out strong and look confident throughout this game. In that opening game against the Colorado Avalanche rookies, Tyler Madden had 8 shots on goal. Alex Turcotte had 6. And these were the guys who showed up essentially in this game, who you wanted to see. In watching that game, the Kings rookies looked fast. They looked like they were on pucks. They looked like they were, you know, playing good hockey. And so it was a pretty convincing win over the Avalanche. It didn't really even seem like they got to get into any sort of momentum at all for the Colorado side. So it was basically exactly what we wanted to see from the Kings rookies. Game number 2 on Sunday was a little bit of a different story. The Kings won 2-1 in the shootout over the Arizona Coyotes. Jacob Ingham was in net for that one. Goals in that game from Alex Turcotte in regulation, and then in the shootout, Tyler Madden had the only tally on either team. We'll talk about him in just a second. This game was really a total opposite of the game against Colorado. In this one, the Kings seemed to come out flat. Maybe they took it a little bit for granted how easy of a win they had over Colorado, but they just didn't come out with the same energy. And the team knew that as well. And Tyler Madden, I believe, even said in his post-game comments, like, yeah, Coach John Wroblewski basically, like, you know, read us the riot act essentially in the first intermission, and the Kings did come back and, you know, come back strong. And Madden also kind of points out that, you know, he and some of the other more veteran or older players really kind of took ownership for that slow start and improved and helped kind of push things forward as the game went on. Turcotte's goal was an ugly goal, but honestly, that's what you needed to get anything past Arizona's goaltender. It was a shot that kind of bounced in off an Arizona defenseman. And you know what? Doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters that you score. So great goal from Alex Turcotte. Tyler Madden's shootout goal. I have retweeted it. It's kind of all over Kings Twitter right now. But if you haven't seen it, please go watch it, because it is ridiculous. It was, I always, you know, hate the like, oh, bro was sick, but like this goal was sick. He just, you know, we're so used to Kings players, particularly doing the shootout safe. And Madden took a chance, took a big move on the goalie, kind of froze him and roofed that puck. It was something really neat to see. And Madden particularly is someone who I have my eye on largely because he obviously didn't have the first year that he wanted to have last season because of the injury that he suffered very early on in the season and took a little while to come back from that. So he didn't really get off to the start he wanted. And is sort of starting from scratch a little bit this year in getting into the game and getting going and to make a name for himself and to claim a place for himself on this team. Turcotte looked pretty good. I think that sometimes he tries to do a little bit too much. His decision making isn't always great. He will, you know, occasionally do the young inexperienced guy thing of I'm going to try to carry this puck through this whole line of guys. And sometimes it works, which makes him want to do it more. And sometimes it doesn't work, which makes us want him to not do it at all. I think that he is kind of showing a bit more versatility that we maybe hadn't expected from him in terms of both skill and being, you know, a little bit gritty, a little bit harder of a player who we didn't really expect that from him. So I've been excited to watch him. I think he's a guy who has a lot to gain or a lot to lose based off of his performance in the preseason and how things go with the rain, you know, presuming that that is indeed where he winds up. Jacob Ingham was in goal for the rain, stopped 32 of 33 shots. The only goal against was from Dylan Gunther, which I'll be honest, I think I probably accidentally manifested that one because I was pretty excited to get to see Gunther in this game because he is someone who I had my eye on as a potential player to be drafted by the Kings. Instead, he, you know, victimizes us in this game and scores against us. But Ingham also looked good, stood really strong during all of the millions of penalty kills the Kings had to do. They took way too many penalties in this game, and also fantastic in the shootout. So great to see Ingham playing confidently as well. He's someone who definitely suffered from last season's goalie carousel in terms of just not enough places for people to play and the whole taxi squad thing. The Kings are going to have a problem eventually with the fact that they have too many goalies, no ECHL team to put them on or anything, but we'll see what happens there. But it was really good to see Jacob Ingham come out confidently and really hold this game together for the Kings, especially while it took them a little while to get into the game. The Kings' final game is today against the Vegas Golden Knights rookie squad, who has won none of their games yet, so we'll see how that goes. Lucas Parikh is expected to be in net for the Kings. May have some other lineup changes. Potentially some of our more high-profile guys might get held out. You know, you want to avoid injury. You want to avoid anything happening to them that's going to derail their seasons or anything. So that game's coming up today. You'll probably, like I said, have already seen the game by the time this show goes up live. We'll come back tomorrow and check in on how that game went, do a little bit of a wrap-up on this rookie tournament. Hopefully we'll get to see some more cool stuff from our kids. So that is coming up. Again, the game's today. The show tomorrow, we'll be talking all about it. Now coming up after this, we're going to continue the conversation about our rookies and about our teams and rebuilds with Robin Leonio of Locked On Coyotes and Jason Hernandez of Locked On Ducks. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you all about DirecTV Stream, because sometimes it is super hard to figure out how to watch all the things you want to watch, where to watch them. You end up watching things on four different devices. Like last night, I had to plug my computer into the television with like an HDMI cord or something, like I was living back in the, you know, dark ages or something. And it's just really frustrating sometimes to try to get all of the things that you want to watch all in one place. Well, we have a simple way now to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle by going to DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites like together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. The best part of all of it, there is no annual contract. So stop waiting. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more by going to directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. Now, if you're into fantasy sports, well, I've got the inside track for you on fantasy hockey, and that is Fantrax. Fantrax free NHL Fantasy Hockey League Manager is the most customizable, easy to use, and feature-rich platform in the industry. Sign up for free today, and as a special offer for Locked On Kings fans, you'll be entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey. Go to fantrax.com/lockedon and sign up. It is the top Dynasty Fantasy Hockey platform in the industry. It is the most customizable. You can have basically any type of league that you can imagine. And the greatest thing is that if you're coming over from another service, well, Fantrax can import any of your current leagues and customize things for you if anything ever goes wrong. Fantrax is among the most trusted names in fantasy sports, offering basically any sort of sport you could think of. And if there's anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, well, Fantrax likely has it. So again, check it out. See why fantasy players who try Fantrax make it their permanent home. Sign up for free today and be entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey. Simply go to fantrax.com/lockedon and sign up today. That's fantrax.com, fantrax.com/lockedon. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. I am excited to see with you guys Dylan Gunther, largely because every mock draft we did for Locked On, he was who I ended up picking, because, and then the real draft got all weird thanks to
I don't know
the Anaheim Ducks going a little off the board, and I'm very happy with our pick of Brent Clark. Like, he's gonna be great for the Kings and I'm excited to watch him, but I felt like very emotionally attached to Dylan Gunther because I had like read so much about him and picked him in all these mock drafts, so I'm excited to see my prospect that never was in these games.
I have to defend myself here, don't I?
No.
Like, I'm still not sure what the Ducks did there. At the time, that draft pick confounded me. You had a lot of these, including Dylan Gunther. Dylan Gunther was there for the taking, and the Ducks didn't take him. There's a bunch of other guys. They took Mason McTavish, number three. At the time of the draft, I remember having this look of, oh, okay, they went with him. The more I see him in rookie camp and in open practice, I'm like, okay, I see what they're going for here, but I'm still not 100% convinced that he was the third overall pick in this year's draft. I'm still not convinced yet.
I mean, weren't most of the mocks getting William Eklund?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I legit thought the Ducks were going to get Eklund, and he was right there. I saw some mocks saying they could take a punt at Gunther at number three. It was Eklund or Gunther or someone else. I think when I ran the poll, it was like 60% Eklund, 20% Gunther, 20% someone else, and no one thought McTavish would go to number three.
Bob Murray.
You know, it was really interesting because, like, I like obviously for the long, like everyone knows for the longest time, I didn't pay attention much to the mock drafts. I had no reason to, and then a couple hours before, I'm like, "Oh,
Merry Christmas,
surprise!"
Legit, the amount of research I had to do in like that 3-hour time span was.
Well, also, I mean, there was a lot of rumors the Ducks would trade that third pick to try to get Jack Eichel, because Buffalo won that third pick, and then the Ducks just, I don't know what they were doing this offseason.
Do they know what they were doing?
No.
Okay.
They're planning for 2022, apparently.
All right, I think we can make a deal here. Let the Coyotes get Shane Wright, and you can go ahead and get Connor Bedard.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine with that. But let's see where the ping pong balls fall. Because you know the Ducks are going to be a lottery team. You know it. Sarah knows it. I know it.
The Coyotes got messed up the last time they were a true lottery team.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up getting the third overall pick in the 2015 draft. Which they used to draft Dylan Strome. What?
To be fair, Dylan Strome destroyed the rain a few times. Destroyed them.
Well, yeah, he was a phenomenal AHL player. It just never translated to the NHL.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
But still, they could have picked Mitch Marner that draft.
Yeah,
that like he was right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can relate. We've had our share of stinker picks,
which is why the Coyotes get first overall this year. They better not screw that up.
We'll see.
It feels great to not trust your team to do the right thing. Like, it's just such a great feeling. Like, anytime we talk about, like, you know, what are the Kings going to do? I'm like, well, here's the obvious path. But the chances of them messing it up, or the chances of, like, them just doing the opposite of what I want them to do. Like, there's a non-zero chance that they're going to do something incredibly stupid. Like,
that's just the Rob Blake way, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the hockey way, I think. Like,
no, not every GM is like that.
No, we can't all be like Steve Yzerman and Julien Brisebois. Like,
yeah,
you know,
we can't be like Tampa Bay and just game the system.
There's a larger percentage of Bob Murray's than there are of Steve Yzerman's.
Ow, true, but still. I can't defend that, folks. She's completely right on that.
Although this makes me glad the Coyotes have a better GM now than they did before. John Shaka was something else.
Yeah. I mean, the Yotes are still feeling repercussions from that.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a reason why they're stuck with Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz for the next few years on a
contract. A reason that there's all these, you know, all these rumors about the Coyotes. Where are they going to, like,
the only thing is, the one thing that he did right was secure Jacob Chychrun into his contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal contract.
Yeah. Everyone is constantly like, how can we pull him out of Arizona?
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because his contract is too team friendly and he's too good.
Yeah.
It really is.
Going to close out today's show with a little bit more with Jason and Robin. But before that, if you haven't heard yet about Built Bars, well, now is your chance. Built Bars come in a ton of great flavors. And one of my favorite things is that you are always going to find some sort of new flavor, new variety available on their website. There's always something neat being introduced. So if you aren't into the core set of flavors like mint brownie, strawberry, German chocolate, and more, well, keeping an eye on Built.com is going to tell you what is up, what surprise flavors are out there, so you can always find something that you want to eat. They are healthy for you. They're high in protein, high in fiber, low sugar, low carbs, and all around, all tasty, all healthy. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Do you build around him?
He is the future captain.
So I want to ask, like, what can the Coyotes do to build around him? Like, which direction would you go?
Well, I mean, Chychrun, obviously, you got to take into account the kind of defenseman he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, you know, modeling after the kind of defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson was on the Coyotes, a puck-moving defenseman, except Chychrun is miles better at only 23 years old.
Yes. So, I mean, what direction do you go? Do you try to build with goaltending, maybe? Or do you try to, like, find that perfect pairing for him? I mean, there's some directions you could go here.
Well, the pairing might be, like, they were looking, I mean, Coyotes already made some people to brought, they brought in some pretty good, decent defensemen to try to pair up with them. Who knows if that's going to work. Obviously, one is a overpaid Shane Gostisbehere.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
And the other is a signed from restricted free agency, Connor Timmins.
I could see him pair up with him.
Yeah.
I feel like their kind of games would complement each other well enough that they could push the puck really well and generate a lot of good power play offense if they were to go that route, or just generate good opportunities and not turn the puck over in the neutral zone like some of the other defensemen the Coyotes have had in the past that are now gone.
Yeah.
So that was a problem.
I mean, why do you think there's a reason why they blew up 90% of their defense?
Because they would turn the puck over right at the red line. We're just going to give it away all the time and let the other team score at ease.
And there's a reason why anytime any Locked On host reached out to me, it's like, so what do you want from us for this player? And I'm like, defense. We need defense.
That's been your answer the whole time.
And some centers.
Only Mata I'm trying to get rid of. I'm just trying to trade Olimata to anyone who will listen to me. So, you know, if you want large finish, dude, I got you covered. Let's not talk about how he's not good.
I think if talent's not there, you're going to have to throw in a second round draft pick.
Is this like Pokemon? Like, got to catch them all? Like...
Yes, it is. I want it so Bill Armstrong has all 32 picks in the second round.
That would be the greatest day ever.
I'm trying not to laugh, guys.
That would be so good. Or even if you just got like a majority of them. Like, every other pick goes to the Coyotes.
He already has five.
That's, I want it. I want it so much.
How much chaos do you want?
All of it.
If you want more chaos, timeouts.
Because I would engineer a trade, like, absolutely, just to make this happen.
Although, to be real, I don't think the Coyotes are going to keep all of those second round picks. They're going to package them to try to get back into the first again, which they already have three.
Oh, that's right. They have three of those, too. Gosh.
That's See, like a more rare Pokemon.
This is how you start a rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what the Kings did. I mean, in addition to being really terrible, but they, you know, avoid the prospect pool was so lean because Dean Lombardi traded all of them away. And it got two Stanley Cups, which is great. And I'm not, you know, complaining about that at all.
Nor should you.
No. But when everything inevitably starts to fall apart, because not every team can be Tampa, you're suddenly like, oh, crap, I have one good player and now I have to rush him to the NHL. So, yeah, they accumulated so many picks and so many minor moves of just moving guys around. And now they have so many prospects that people are like, I don't know what to do with all of them. And then you're in a great position of being able to trade those picks or trade those, you know, prospects for something more useful in the immediate future. So it's absolutely, you know, the way to do it. And then it makes the Roadrunners a good threat. Once those guys all start coming of age with your 8,000 second round draft picks, eventually they hit the AHL and then they beat up on our teams for a while.
I mean, the Roadrunners already have two Pacific Division championships in 4 years. So, or their 5 years of existence.
I was going to say, there was a fifth season last year.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. And yet the Ducks lost picks this year somehow.
What did you do?
Traded for Tyson Hines for the 2021 and give up a pick next season. I don't know why.
Who is that?
That was their late third round pick.
Oh, I thought that was like an actual player that they traded for.
Actually, the Ducks lost quite a few picks this season. Why? What are they?
Bob Murray gonna Bob Murray.
What are they doing? Like, this is a legit question. What are they doing?
Well, if they're not committing to the official rebuild, then yeah, they're just like, I think we can get back in with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
No. It didn't work last season. They're going to rely on who? Kevin Shattenkirk? He's going to get resurrected all of a sudden? Or Jacob Larson? Or what? Ryan Getzlaff will find the Fountain of Youth in his last season, maybe?
That'd be funny.
That would be funny. But it's not going to happen.
I'm going to allow you guys to make fun of one thing that the Coyotes have coming up for their season. And I mentioned this on a episode a couple weeks ago, and I want to make t-shirts out of it.
Oh.
The Coyotes, based off their roster, have a $12 million fourth line.
That's beautiful. That's right. They made that move for all of those guys.
What are you doing?
Well,
why, yeah. Arizona? I mean, you have all those draft picks.
I mean, it's only going to be for that 1 year because Erickson, Roussel, and Lincoln, and
Beagle
are all on their last year of their terrible, terrible contracts.
You got some bad contracts expiring this coming season.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what they did. See, this is the thing, is everyone was saying, making fun of the Coyotes for picking up dead cap for assets. But the thing is that the difference is they're not going long term this year. It's like, all right, we'll just pick up the last couple years, the last year of your terrible contracts.
If you know you're not going to be competitive, and I think that the Coyotes front office knew that this coming season wasn't going to be anything spectacular. If you know you're not going to be, yeah. Go extort some other teams to take on their terrible guys.
I'm going to let you say this. Look at their cap hit this season. Look at it next season.
Oh, wow.
Look at that difference.
Yeah, so right now it's...
66.
Yeah, $66 million is what they have signed for this year.
Well, that's add in the dead cap, so it's 69.
Yeah, 69. Nice.
Nice.
and then all they've got signed for next year is basically like under $30 million. Once you add it all together.
I mean,
the only people they have beyond this next year are Keller, Schmaltz, Ladd, Chychrun, Gostisbehere, and Timmins.
That's it.
That's a rebuild.
Yep. And even their retained salary, they only paid Darcy Kuemper one season, and that's it. Just 1 year. So even that dead cap goes away.
Ooh, that's a rebuild.
That's a rebuild, but that's an effective rebuild.
And like I said, I had a lot of people on the crossovers. I'm going with the Central Division. I think one of them asked me, how do I grade the Coyotes offseason? I'm like, I give them an A. Mm-hmm. like Bill Armstrong killed it. He knew the assignment and he destroyed it.
And look at these draft picks.
There's
a lot. 8 in the first 2 rounds. That for a draft this deep, watch out for the Coyotes in 2025-2026.
Who knows if I'm going to be in Arizona by then?
Well, who knows if the Coyotes? Never mind.
I was trying.
Oh.
That is it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll have a little bit more later this week as we look at this rookie tournament and see how the Kings did and get ready for the next season. So until then, you can find Robin on Twitter at @LO_Coyotes to keep up with what's going on in Arizona. Jason in Locked On Ducks is at @LO_Ducks on Twitter. I, of course, am at Right Said Sarah on Twitter, and Locked On LA Kings is the Twitter for this exact show, available wherever you get your podcasts as well. So make sure you're subscribing or following or whatever. If this is your first time here, I am glad you're here. I'm glad that you are as excited as I am for the Kings upcoming season. So make sure you're subscribing and never miss another episode. Come back tomorrow for more hockey talk and more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.